The family of God. Remember we were talking about the family of God last time? I shared part one that I titled Like Father, Like Son. Today I want to share about part two, subtitled Sons and Daughters of God. We say that family is defined as the basic unit in society, traditionally consisting of two parents rearing their children or a group of individuals living under one roof and usually under one head. Also means a household. Now, in the first part of this teaching, we didn't see any real father and son interaction between God and Israel, who behave more as the black sheep of the family than the most favored people on the face of the earth by the Father. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Deuteronomio. I can say that better in Spanish. Chapter 7, verse 7. Okay. All right. The Lord did not set his love upon you, talking to Israel, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewer of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeem you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hated him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which I commanded thee this day to do them. So God set his delight over Israel because they were the least of all people over the earth. The Hebrew word chasa basically means to deliver, to have a delight or desire. Desire here is a very interesting word. It means to long or hope for. God had a desire in his heart. Let's not forget, God is not a man. And whenever we attribute human characteristics to God, it's always to the point that we, humans, cannot understand what he means in his word. Now, the Hebrew chasa is used 11 times in the Bible and translated as love only 3 times. One of them in verse 7, what we just read. God did set his delight over Israel because they were the least of all people over the earth and had a longing within his heart. The second word love in verse 8 is the Hebrew word ahava, which comes from the same root ahab, meaning having affection for, in a good or bad sense. Obviously, Israel didn't keep his part of the deal, and God still blessed them. We can assume God desired a family. But because of Israel's hardness of heart and lack of commitment to God's commandments, statutes, and judgments, that could not have been possible. Now, in order to have a family, as we know it, we need a father, a mother, brothers and sisters, right? Well, if God is our father, Jesus Christ is our older brother, and we have many brothers and sisters in the faith, But wait, where's mom? The word mother appears 245 times in the Bible. But we have to remember, Adam and Eve had not a physical mother. We all know God formed, made, and created the first man, Adam. And from his side, God made Eve. So there was no need to clip a navel or spank them to make them breathe, right? One thing most people ignore is that Adam was a three-part being. Body, soul, and spirit. Remember that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground? A soul was made when God breathed into Adam's nostril the breath of life, and spirit, which was created after the likeness of God's image. And those are the requirements in order to be a son of God today, to be a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. But well, we all know Adam and Eve disobeyed. They brought calamity to humankind. And when they both died the very same day they disobeyed God, they lost their spiritual connection with God. Better say, they died spiritually and became a two-part beings only, body and soul. It's after this that in Genesis chapter 3 verse 20, Adam called Eve the mother of all. Genesis chapter 3 verse 20 says, you don't have to go there, I'll read it to you. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now, this is the second time the word mother is used. The first one, in Genesis 24, when he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh. That is the first time the word mother is used. Now, the word living in Genesis 3:20 is translated from the Hebrew word chi, which can be also translated as alive, hence, raw flesh, living, creature, or thing, also fresh water or plant. Is perhaps from this that Mother Nature or Mother Earth originated? We're talking about mother, right? Well, the earliest written and most reliable date reference to Mother Nature are found in Mycenaean Greek transcript dated in 12 or 13 BC. The term Mother Earth is translated as, guess what? Maga or Mother Gaia. This notion had its roots in pre-Socratic philosophers who had invented nature, and it was further championed by the Greek philosopher Aristotle. Other cultures have embraced the notion that nature has its own spirit in relevancy unique from God the Father. The American Indians is one such culture that believes there is something called and Mother Earth that provides the water of life that gives them the abundant provisions of food and everything. That's interesting, right? In reality, no one but God provides our basic needs of food, shelter, water, and life. But I digress. Going back to Genesis 3:20, when Eve is called the mother of all living, that is why every living soul descending from Eve are only body and soul. No longer to be called the sons of God. Therefore, Israel was not really a son, but a servant. Or if you prefer, God's foster children, but never God's children by seed until the day of Pentecost at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But now, to honor our body and soul father and mother was a commandment. Talking about commandments, right? As it is written in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God given thee. God had also gave great relevance to our natural mother. As we can read so many parts, we can read in so many parts of the Bible. See, when Jerry was talking about Steffi, I was just thinking on this part of the teaching, talking about how she's a wonderful mom to her baby and all of the children. How she provides and take care of them and cleans and does all kind of stuff. Well, mothers, they do so many things for us when we are children that we don't even know. But then, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The word instruction from the Hebrew means chastisement, reproof, instruction, discipline, warning, restraint. And the word law is the Hebrew word Torah, meaning precepts or statutes. Now, from this, we can probably say and understand that mom set the rules of the game in the family, so to speak. But dad enforces them. The book of Proverbs shows the qualities of a good woman needs to be a great mother and a great wife, according to those times with the story of the virtuous woman. You all remember that. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 25. We're going to read there a few verses. Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looked well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praise her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, strength, honor, wisdom, kindness, keeping watch over her household and not being idle are some of the qualities of that a woman needs to be a virtuous mother. But that's not all. To also be called blessed by their children and praised by her husband, she needs not to rely on her beauty, which is vain, or any deceitful favor. First of all, she had to reverence or to respect the Lord God Almighty. Not necessarily to fear, but to show respect and reverence. The Hebrew word yare not only means fear, also means respect and reverence. And the words must always be in harmony with the context. So first of all, she had to reverence God in order for her to be praised. I'm only addressing the characteristic of a mother out of the virtuous woman story. You're welcome to read the whole story if you want to. Jesus taught that very commandment throughout the Gospels, and the Apostle Paul learned it so well that he also taught it to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Many of you know that by heart. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. It is important to obey father and mother and keep them in high regard, that it might be well with us in all we do and live a long and blessed life here on earth. The fact is that as body and soul, man and woman, we all have a mother, right? And as Adam and Eve descendants, we're born in this world as two-part beings only. But in Genesis chapter 3, after God had cursed Satan, promised that he would send a redeemer. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Zera is the Hebrew word for seed in both instances. It means fruit. It means child. And also means seed, among other words. But it makes a lot of sense, because the promised seed, the fruit or child, was only of Mary, without any human male intervention. But by the Holy Spirit of God creating the sperm to fertilize Mary's egg to be able to conceive a holy child. And when Jesus was born, was also only a two-part being, with the distinct characteristic of having been conceived by uncorruptible blood. But he was not born with Holy Spirit. He got it upon him until he was baptized by John. He was that promised seed. He was the child of the promise. The one that not only bruised, but crushed the head of the enemy. And when he died for you and me on that stake and said, it is finished, he paid the price and blotted out our sins with his shed blood. Then God resurrected him after 3 days and three nights. And after that, he presented himself to his disciples. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Here's where the fun begins. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in my name. That phrase, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, is not in the text. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. One thing we can notice here is the phrase all power, meaning all manners of means, any, every, or the whole power. which here is the Greek word exousia. This is exerted power. To put for or to put into action or to execute. Spiritually, all power doesn't belong to Satan anymore. That is why he is so mad, trying to rush the time for the little period he will reign again free for 1,000 years. The other thing we can notice is that the 11 disciples were present there. The Greek word matit means a learner, a pupil. So they were still learning from Jesus because he was still instructing them. But in verse 19, he says, go ye therefore and teach. The Greek word matetu means to discipline, to teach, to instruct. Now Jesus was giving them the responsibility of teaching and instructing the people. They were not officially named apostles because the gift ministries were not yet given but unto Pentecost. And Jesus was instructing them and prepared them for that specific day. John chapter 14. Go to John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Verse 5 says that Thomas asked Jesus where he was going and where was the way to get there. Verse 6, Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Verses 8 through 11 shows the whole dissertation with Philip about if you have seen me, have seen the Father, and I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, the words that I speak are not my words, but the Father that dwelleth within me. Verse 14, John chapter 14, John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye agape me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world see me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he is that loved me, and he that loved me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, is what we receive and what we have when we confess Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That is the third part that completes us to become today sons and daughters of God. The phrase sons of God are used 11 times in the Bible, 2 times in Genesis, 3 times in the book of Job. Now remember, in the Old Testament, it's always used in reference to the angels or the messengers of God. In the Gospel of John, it's used one time, and the other 5 times in the epistles to the church. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. We know all these sections refers to Jesus being in the anticipated knowledge of God, not necessarily present with Him, but in God's foreknowledge. The phrase by Him from the Greek is dia autos, meaning through Him or because of Him. Not that Jesus made all things, but everything was made because of Him. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, the darkness comprehended it not because the light of men was life, spiritual life there is. And because there is not any communion between darkness and light. Verses 6 through 8 talks about John the Baptist, who was sent to bear witness of the light. Now verse 9, John chapter 1 verse 9. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The phrase by Him again here is the same like in verse 3, meaning because of Him. Not that Jesus made the world. The world was made because of Him. He is the Son of God, not God Himself. Now, how is it that every human being coming to this world has body and soul? But the word lighted here means to lighten up, to enlighten, to illuminate, to make see, to make to see. Now remember when Jesus in Matthew 28, 18 says, all power is given unto me on heaven and on earth? Well, John chapter 1 verse 11 said, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The word power here is also the Greek word exousia, which means exerted power. So brothers and sisters, by the grace and mercies of God, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He gave you, He gave us the ability, the privilege, the capacity, the liberty or power to become a son or a daughter of God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in form of God, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See? The fact that all exerted power or authority on heaven and earth was given to Him means that He didn't have that power to begin with. He was not God. He was not God Almighty, but he was the Son of the Almighty God. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things on heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Why? Because all exerted power or authority on heaven and earth was given unto him. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world. Jesus was the light of the world when he was here on earth. But see now, who is that light? Us. We are. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Is there still any doubt of who our Father is? The Greek word for called means to be called or to be known as the sons of God or as a surname. A surname is the name borne in common by members of a family. You know, the Brown family, the Lochte family, the Rosales family, the Nicholson. So what's our surname? Sons of God. See? Well, a spiritual family, that's what we are. And therefore, perhaps, we have a spiritual mother. I'm still talking about the mother, trying to get her to the mother. Go to Galatians chapter 4. I'm trying to complete the family. Galatians chapter 4 verse 24. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. You know, I always thought when I read this section that Agar represented Israel and Sarai represented the Christian believer. But I was wrong. Because Sarai represents the promise made to Abraham, but still involving Israel, which until now is still in bondage, as verse 25 says. The phrase answer to Israel also means corresponds to Jerusalem. Answer to Jerusalem corresponds to Jerusalem. And the phrase now is also means this present times. He's talking about the times when Paul was preaching and not too much have changed spiritually ways with Israel since those times. So they're still in bondage. So neither Agar nor Sarai represent our spiritual mother. We are not Israel. But the promise reached all the way unto the nations, the Gentiles. When Israel rejected the Messiah, remember what John says, 1:11 says, he came into his own and his own received him not. Well, then the Gentiles came into the picture. Galatians chapter 4 verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Isn't that great? There we have the whole family of God. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our older brother, with many spiritual brothers and sisters, and our spiritual mother, the Jerusalem which is above. The Apostle John had a glimpse of that new heaven and earth in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We have to remember the Revelations completes the Old Testament. But the promise, it was made for those who believe in the Son of God. I assume you know or have heard about the famous painter Donatello, better known as the Holy Family. Remember the picture, the Holy Family? No? Every famous painter has one version of him. Michelangelo, Rubens, Goya, Raphael, all of them, they make their own version of the Sacred Family, whatever it's known. I don't know how it is. But you know who the real Holy Family is? You and I. With God in Christ in us. We are three part beings now. Body, soul, and spirit. That is what makes us sons and daughters of God. Of course, via an agape walk. Now it makes more sense what Jesus says in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. There is a place for us already there. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. And yes, we know the way. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth, and he is the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Let me share a little experience when I was a student in college. On vacation times, I used to travel to my house. And my school was 6 hours away from my home. Or a little more. I used to travel at night because of the time. I didn't wanted to go, you know, all day in the bus. So I'd rather go in the night, fall asleep, and then when I wake up, I'm there. But one of the things I used to do was I never eat anything during the travel. I didn't like to eat anything. And when I got home, I always had a very, very stomachache. My stomach, I had colic or something. And my mom always used to prepare for me chamomile tea that will soothe my pain and will basically make the pain go away. And when I was thinking about, you know, going back home, I remember, Mom is there. Mom will, I was just also remember the song that Jerry shared with us, the German choir singing about, yeah. Our Father is in heaven waiting for us above the clouds. What is the, that's the title? So, I'm sure you have heard the phrase that says, home is where your heart is. We can also add, home is where mom is. And, but our home is from above. That is why Colossians says in chapter 3, I'll read it for you, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The phrase set your affections is the Greek word phroneo, used two times, phroneo. It means set the affections on, to exercise the mind, to have a sentiment, to be mentally disposed. These all things refers to the heart of the mind, where the issues of life come from. And God is always interested in the heart of man. So, we have God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth and everything that exists, as our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, our older brother, with many brothers and sisters in the faith. And mom, our new home, the Jerusalem from above, where we're supposed to set our affections on and be mentally disposed to, is waiting for us to come back home. I didn't mean to, but in the third part of the series, we will discover a few more things about God's family. But my dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you what you already know. That we are the family of God. God bless you. Okay.